You're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for today, this wonderful Sunday, Dumisani Mfune. I'll be with you for the next 30 minutes. I have a lot for you. I know you're going to enjoy it. What can you expect on the program? I'm going to take you to Durban.
The first European that saw what today is called Durban was probably Vasco da Gama in 1497 while on his way to India. And the city is named after Sir Benjamin de Urban. But this is all history. Let's take a look at Durban today.
We will also learn about health and how we can be healthy.
A lot of people will be enlightened by this episode today, because I was actually enlightened as I was going through the material, you know. What is health?
Well, health is...
I'll play the rest of that interview later on in the program. So you're just going to have to stick around so that you hear the definition of health and how you can be a healthier you. If you're like me and you enjoy traveling, meeting new people, seeing new places, then you're going to want to listen to what's coming up next. I remember when I was young, I really loved reading National Geographic. I would look at some of the South American Indians, some of the tribes from DRC, some groupings from the Far East. It was always great. But now, coming up next, I'm taking you guys to Durban, South Africa. So hold on to your seats and enjoy.
If you are 50 years and older, you need to sit up and listen. If you are younger, you need to do the same, but for a different reason. For the older folk, the reason you need to listen is that you can remember the days when the Union Castle liners were steaming back and forth on the oceans. For the younger ones, the era of fast and easy travel is here, and the exchange rates are in your favor. The city to visit? That magical name on the lips of many a sailor and traveler of old, Durban. Today, an option amongst many, but still a very good option, especially for a holiday with the most favorable exchange rates. You need to be careful where you stay, though. Some of the quick road to riches folk charge dollar rates, which send them smiling to the bank. They are harming the tourist industry, and you need to be aware of these sharks. Talking about sharks, one of the national sports in South Africa is rugby, and the provincial team having its club in Durban is, of course, called the Sharks. But don't let that put you off from Durban. There are very few sharks in Durban, both the real ones, because the beaches are protected by shark nets, and the proverbial ones, because you can normally see them from a distance. The first European that saw what today is called Durban was probably Vasco da Gama in 1497, while on his way to India. And the city is named after Sir Benjamin de Urban. It was soon to become a sugarcane production area in the province of Natal, and many Indians were brought to Durban to work in the cane fields. But this is all history. Let's take a look at Durban today. It still remains one of the number one holiday destinations for South Africans, Natal being one of the most beautiful provinces. The Natal Midlands is known for its rolling hills and pastoral landscapes. Dams are scattered all over the province, stocked with trout and black bass. I walked the Golden Mile from North Beach to South Beach while in Durban. Now, I would think that the name Golden Mile came from the stretch of beach, a mile long, of the most beautiful golden sand. But nowadays, you could probably also apply the name Golden Mile to the beautiful pebbled walkway stretching from North to South Beach. Here you can buy exquisite handmade curios, both South African and African-made. And of course, the East is also there, with tackies from Korea and T-shirts from China, to name just a few. Then there's the ice cream carts that would lure you to cool yourself with something fattening in the summer heat. Not to speak of all the food stalls where you could buy a snack. And if you really want to sit it out, you need to go to Durban in December. It's humid, tropical, and hot, with every wave beckoning you to come in and cool down. By the way, those waves are fantastic. No stones under your feet, just soft sand, and waves that pound a pound or two off you in an hour's swim. One thing is sure, when you have had a swim at one of the South African beaches, you need to head for a place where you can find something to eat, because you can work up a hunger that could eat a horse. So, you want to lose weight? Keep to a strict diet and go for a swim in Durban twice a day and see the fat just melt away. Hey, but that's not what I want to say in this travelogue. I need to tell you about the atmosphere in Durban around Christmas. There are traders on the streets. There is fruit in abundance. Sunglasses and beachwear is the in thing. Tall milkshakes and ice cream floats with two straws in for the very thirsty. And there's nothing to equal the South African sun and the occasional summer downpour that leaves the streets steaming and glistening. Okay, so you've missed the Christmas holidays? That's not the end of the world. They say the best time to come to Durban is from February to early May. How can I say that? My experience of Durban is that you can come any time you want. It is always fun. And of course, you don't limit yourself to Durban. There is the whole south and north coast of Natal, and the Natal Midlands, with what they call the Midlands Meander. This in its own is an experience of a lifetime. However, I need to share with you something of even greater importance. If we thought this world and its cities are beautiful, there's something we need to take note of. The Bible talks about a new heavens and a new earth. And I want to share this verse with you. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, "However, as the scriptures say, what no one ever saw or heard, what no one ever thought could happen, is the very thing God prepared for those who love Him." I want you to think of that and realize that God has a lot more in store for us.
If you want to find out more about this lovely city, Durban, write into us. If, perhaps, you want to tell us about a beautiful town near where you live, or maybe the very town that you live in, hey, write into us, and then we'll read your letter so that everyone else can hear about your town. So stick around. I'll give you the address in a few minutes. But before I do that, let's pause for a moment and look at our health. Wouldn't it be great if you were able to have more energy? If you were able to eat less, but still go on for hours with that energy that you need to do your work, whether it's at home, at school, at the office, in the fields, whatever it is. Wouldn't that be great? And wouldn't you want to live a more meaningful life, to live longer? Then you're definitely going to want to listen. Coming up next is Rochelle and Dawn as they discuss what health is. Be blessed.
Hello and welcome to Practical Health. Today in the studio with me, I have Rochelle. Rochelle, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Rochelle Stander, a student at the Be Free Lifestyle Center in the Western Cape, South Africa.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, today is quite an interesting day because I believe that a lot of people will be enlightened by this episode today, because I was actually enlightened as I was going through the material, you know. What is health?
Well, health is, according to my current understanding, the blending of our physical, emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual resources as they assist you in mastering the tasks necessary for you to enjoy a satisfying and productive life.
Mm.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
But if you can say it more simply, it's
yes.
It's not just not being sick.
Yes.
You know, maybe we should go a bit into what health isn't. You know, a lot of people think that if they go to the doctor and he does an examination and he says there's nothing wrong, then you're healthy.
Mm.
But yet, when you go home, you still feel tired and you still feel like you could just sleep all day or or something like that. And I currently believe that a lot of people are what I'd like to call vertically ill.
Mm.
We can stand up, but we're still ill. We're you know, most people only recognize somebody when they're diagonally ill, when they're lying in bed with an illness.
Mm.
But it's having that health, to me, is having that vitality of life and the abundance of energy, not just the entry level amount of energy to get you through the day, you know.
Mm. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So you're saying, in essence, that health is more like a holistic thing. It doesn't just, holistic, and in the sense that it's not just one element. So, like, in the sense that if you don't go to the doctor for a while, you go to the doctor and he says you're healthy, then it doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy, because you might maybe have spiritual challenges or emotional challenges or.
Yes, that's true. But I also want to say, on a physical note,
yes,
just because you don't have any diseases manifesting themselves doesn't mean that you're necessarily healthy. And just because you don't have an obvious disease doesn't mean that your body is functioning at an optimal level, just from a purely physical point of view as well.
Okay.
I acknowledge that you need to be spiritually, emotionally, and mentally healthy and, you know, everything. But your body as well, you can not be diseased with something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are what you can be.
You're scaring me now, because I cycle up the hill every day. So, I mean, I haven't been to the doctor in quite a while, so I like to think I'm healthy. I think, I'm socially healthy and emotionally healthy,
I suppose. True.
But yeah, I think it's quite interesting to look at it from the way that you're taking it right now, because I suppose a lot of people, you know, out in the communities, in the rural areas, they just live life and they're not so worried about many things, and hence some of them actually live longer, you know, because they kind of encompass that whole that holistic approach that you're talking about, because normally their physical health is well because they do chores around the house. Their social health is also good because they live with their family close by. And, most of them are spiritual as well, you know. So it's quite interesting that they end up living much longer lives than some people in the urban areas, because you find that, you know, people are struck with busy life and,
And not only do they live a longer life, they live a more satisfying life.
A satisfying
because
life,
they have relationships that work.
They
eat food, whole foods,
and
they don't experience a lot of the common Western lifestyle diseases like cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and all those things, because they have a whole grain, whole foods diet.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because I realize, like, even what you're saying, a lot of people don't even have appreciation for what they have out there, because they grow their own crops with natural fertilizers and stuff. And yet here we're so on a frenzy of organic foods, yet they already have it organic, but they don't even know it, you know. So I think it's important for them as well to realize that what they have is special and they must keep it and keep going at it. Yeah, it's interesting, like, you know, this whole discussion of health, because I actually thought vegetarianism was the crux of hell. So once you've conquered being a vegetarian, meat, and you've become a vegetarian, then, you know, you've almost won it. But according to what you're saying right now, it actually seems to be more. Actually seems to be more.
It might at the beginning sound like a whole, you know, like this new revelation, and it's going to be so many things that I have to learn and everything. But it's very simple. There are a few basics that you just need to keep in mind and learn to live by, and you'll be able to experience true health, optimal living.
Oh, that's great. That's actually nice. So, in essence, you know, there's no specific group that is supposed to be, if health is not just for the rich.
The conclusion we have come to at the Lifestyle Center is that if God has designed a lifestyle for people, then it must be able to fit all cultural and groups, all financial groups. It must be able to suit everyone. This must be a lifestyle that anybody can do. And we have had some amazing discoveries, and just it's been an amazing discovery to see that God is behind all of this, and that everybody can live a healthy lifestyle if they would follow God's plans revealed to us in the Bible.
It's interesting, because hopefully we're going to be discussing some more practical, you know, ways of assisting people to be more healthy and actually more aware and conscious of what health is, you know. Because I hope that in the future episodes we'll be able to discuss, you know, the composition of health. Like we've already discussed now some of the issues, but like maybe really try and go in depth and not just discuss composition, but discuss a whole lot of other issues.
Yes,
including
we can,
nutrition,
we can explore topics that are really going to make the difference in certain aspects of our health. And there are quite a few of them, and I'm sure that the listeners will find them thought-provoking and quite interesting.
Well, you've had it for yourself. Join us again in the next episode. Please do join us.
That was Don and Rochelle telling us what health is. So remember, guys, health is not just the absence of disease or sickness. There's a lot more to it. Now, I promised you that I was going to give you our address. So if you want more information on what Don and Rochelle were talking about, write into us. Our address is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West. Somerset is spelled SOMERSET, and that's near Cape Town in South Africa. The postal code is 7129. I'll repeat that. AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. I've got a nice book that I'm looking at right here. It says Normal Illness. Write in and I'll tell you how you can get a copy of that. It goes hand in hand with what Rochelle and Don were talking about that. You'll hear more from them next Sunday. But right now, coming up next is a very interesting discussion, interesting talk from the book of John, Believing the I Am. And it's by Pastor A.J. de Villiers. I hope you'll be blessed by it. Pastor A.J. de Villiers.
John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Have you ever had a chance in life to be hungry for something, specifically food or bread? Have you ever had this longing to eat something good, such as a good meal? I remember when I was in Abundant Life, the Christian touring group in South Africa, they took us on a hike where we had to work as a team and grow together as a unit. One thing they did was give us a limited supply of food. After 3 days of rations, one becomes hungry for anything. But the amazing thing is, one realizes the necessity of the spiritual food and that it is the sustenance of life. This food is the food that gave us the energy to push through the hard times and struggles. We had to apply our faith in our daily walk, in our physical lives. We had to realize that the application of our belief is found in our coming to Christ. This is to say that the application of your faith is found in your coming to Christ. This is exactly what John is saying in verse 35 of John 6. It reads, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." This is based on a conversation which Christ had with those who were searching for him after he had fed the 5,000 men. Christ and his disciples vanished after the tiresome expedition they had with feeding the hordes of people. The people, the following morning, went in search of them, but could not find Jesus Christ and the disciples. So they departed to Capernaum because they heard that Jesus was there. When they found him, they asked him the question, and this is found in John 6, verse 28. "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Christ replies and says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." On this basis, they ask him for a sign in which they may believe. But the thing is, Christ has already sustained them. He has already taken them to the place where they can apply their faith. He's already proved to them that he is God. It doesn't matter what religion you are. Christ has led you here to this place, to this radio station today, to give you a chance to practice your faith. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you already believe in him. If you haven't, this is the place to be, because God has led you here to practice your faith in him. The choice is yours to make right now. But the thing is, we as people don't see this point, that Christ has already brought us to the place where he wants us to be. He's already saved us. He's already died on the cross for us. He's already given us a chance to get to know him. We want to think we have to do something. We become stubborn and miss the point, just like those people going in search of Christ after he fed them. They were stubborn and unbelieving. Are you stubborn and unbelieving today? If so, don't withdraw. Don't vanish into your little comfort zone, because it's Christ alone that sustains us and nothing else. You see, these people following Christ followed him because he could sustain them. He could fulfill a need that they had, but they saw him not as an eternal sustainer, but as a moment sustainer. Are you seeing Christ this morning as a sustaining you for the moment, for the need right now? Are you missing the point of who he really is? They said to Christ, "We know that our forefathers received bread from Moses, and they were sustained for 7 days a week. But how can we believe in you? You're not Moses." Christ whips out and tells them, "Moses never gave them bread, but God did. And it is the same God that has sent him, Christ, the true bread, to them to sustain them through all their lives." They then turn to him and plead to him to give them this bread, not only now like the miracle provided for them in a moment, but that he will give them this bread for eternity, for always. Christ then says, "I am the bread of life. I am the only one that can sustain you for eternity. I am the one who gives you eternal life." The words in the Greek declares, I am the bread of life. This is an emphasis from Christ. He is the only one that can give this bread. He is the only one that can fill all these needs that are in our lives. He is the only one that can sustain the needs that you face daily, whether it is hunger for spiritual, for the physical, for the mental, for the emotional, even for the financial. He can sustain you. This passage is not only emphasizing, but sending us back to the Old Testament in Exodus 3 verse 14, where God says to Moses, "I am who I am." The people never believed Christ after he did the miracle. But now that he states that he is the only one, he is God himself, they start to listen to what he says. Christ is telling you and I today that he is the only sustainer in life. He is the only one that knows how to live life properly. Why do we always want to sustain ourselves emotionally, spiritually, or even physically? Why can't we just go to God and let us practice our faith? Let us do that right now. And I invite you now to go to God and practice your faith. Let us today practice our faith by coming to Christ. I invite you, let us believe that I am.
To learn more about this great I am that Pastor AJ was telling us about, write into us. Our address is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. I look forward to hearing from you. I have been your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. My time is up, but I'll be with you again, same time tomorrow, with a lot more goodies for you. You've been listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. Until tomorrow, God bless.